Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Howdy, howdy, folks. Welcome back to Hoot and Half. I hope that you're having a great day. I sure am having a good day. Every time I sit down with my buddy Mike Sheffer is truly the highlight of my day. And we have so much that we want to get into. And so just welcome. Thank you for being here. Let's just hop right into it. So I kind of want to talk about this, even though it's kind of none of our business, but we need to be on the lookout for it.
The nut truck?
No, we'll get there. We'll get something awesome just happened to us before we recorded this episode. But Ben Kahn's car got stolen?
That's the word on the street.
If you guys don't know who Ben Kahn is, he's one of our good friends. He's a hilarious comedian, internet personality. He's the co-host of Trillionaire Mindset, part of TMG Studios. We've had him as a guest here on this podcast. Big support of Ben Kahn. And Ben, for a long time, has had this Volvo of his.
1989 Volvo.
It's his prized possession. It's his baby. He loves talking about it. You know, Ben's like a nice, good, frugal, practical guy. He's not a very materialistic man, but the one thing he takes pride in is his car. It's a gorgeous car, and he just posted on his Instagram story that it got stolen. What have you heard from Ben?
Well, I responded to it because he posted a story saying, stolen, if anyone has seen this, and it was him and Emil, and I wasn't sure if he was making a joke like Emil got, like, kidnapped or something, which is not the best joke. But I was just like, did your car really get stolen? He said, yeah. And it's his white Volvo. We'll put a photo of it up for you. What?
It's not like of a bluish tint?
I think it might be white. The new one is blue. The new one's like a bluish silver color.
He has two?
He got a new one, yeah.
Oh, this is the new one that got stolen.
No, the old one. Yeah. He was going to sell this one, I think, to some other car. He's like a big Volvo enthusiast, yeah. But
you don't know where it happened. Off the street?
Yeah, on the street in his neighborhood.
Do you think it's because it's an old car that it's easier to hotwire and steal?
For sure. And it's probably been sitting there for like a few months because he doesn't, I think it's,
it's been like scoped out. Is that the word?
I think so.
Have you ever dealt with a car being stolen before?
No, but I have. The first day of college, I brought my childhood bike. It was a Ryan Nyquist BMX bike from Harrow, which in the 90s and 2000s was like the bike to get. Harrow, H-A-R-O.
Okay.
There was like two like BMX brands. Ryan Nyquist was my favorite BMXer. Got the bike when I was like 14. My
which
prized
BMXer?
Possession. Ryan Nyquist.
Oh.
He basically...
Wait, wasn't there also a skateboarder with Nyquist? Rob Lindquist?
I don't know. Rob Lundquist.
Isn't that a skateboarder?
There's Henrik Lundqvist, who is the
goalie. I feel like I had an English teacher named Mrs. Lundqvist. Anyways, but I only remember Matt Hoffman.
Matt Hoffman was, he had the video game, right?
Yes.
So Ryan Nyquist was, I think, one of the players in the game. But what he did, he invented what's called the gyro. On the front of your bike, if you have brakes on the bike, you can't spin the front wheel infinitely because the wires would get tied up. So him and this company invented what's called the gyro, and it's like a mechanism so that way you can have brakes and spin the wheel around infinity times without the wires getting caught up. And it was like the first BMX bike to have that. I had
BMX
that.
Was intense.
It's insane.
It's like, I think that was BMX tricks sometimes were harder than skateboarding tricks.
Sometimes, yeah.
Like, you are... It's not just like, oh, you're jumping off with a piece of wood and some wheels on it. You're moving a giant frame of metal around.
Yeah, with wheels, and you have to land on both wheels at the same time.
Wheelie and bunny hopping is all I knew.
You never got into...
Gyroscoping. But let's go down. So you had basically this bike.
I had my favorite bike. I rode it every day.
Could you do the trick?
I was able to do one bar spin, I think.
Okay.
My claim to fame was I figured out how to stand up on like the middle bar and ride, like cruise down and ride the ride the bike like it was a skateboard.
Okay,
got you. That was my claim to fame.
Following it.
And I brought, so I had this all through my childhood, and sophomore year of college, moved out of the dorms, moved into a house with a bunch of my friends. Moving day, I brought my bike, took it out of the car, put it up on our front deck, didn't chain it up, went inside for maybe 10 minutes. I just like was moving, so I figured, okay, I can leave my bike out for 10 minutes. Came outside, bike was stolen.
Gone.
First time I've ever had anything stolen. It is one of the worst feelings I think you can experience.
Did you put up signs? Has anyone lost bike? Nah. Reward if found?
I mean, growing up, like bikes got stolen all the time. It was like a thing. And if your bike got stolen, you just know you're never going to see it again. They'll immediately take the wheels off. They'll spray paint it. They'll remove the decals. They'll just like scrape the serial number off. Bike thieves know what they're doing. And it was my first experience having something stolen. It's one of the worst experiences I think you can go through.
I think I've had a bike stolen too.
Have you ever had anything of like value stolen though that you can remember? Like, oh my God, someone stole this.
A handful of things, but I always ended up like kind of getting it back.
Oh, you've gotten something stolen back from you?
Yeah.
Dude, whoa.
My phone got stolen when I was in high school. I had the LG Envy. Do you remember that phone?
Yeah, yeah.
Where it was like the Verizon's version of a Sidekick, and it just folded open. It had the keyboard, everything. It had like dual speakers. And it was like my first big borderline smartphone. Like you could surf the internet on that phone if you tried, but no one ever did it back in those days.
You could surf the internet.
But you know, like you did that, like you pulled it open, you immediately thought it was going to charge you and your parents were going to ground you. Okay. So we had PE and PE, we had like lockers, but like
you physical need... exercise.
Yes. Physical education.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
And it was like a PE class in high school. And, you know, you had to go to the locker. You had to get changed. And then I'm pretty sure you're supposed to have like your own lock for your lockers. If you get to bring your own lock for the lockers
for
in the gym.
Yeah.
And but sometimes like I didn't have my locker or people just didn't care because no one else was in the gym. And we would just leave our backpacks in there. Like it was just a real lazy day. And I left my backpack in there. My phone was in there. And I came back and my phone was gone. So I was like, oh, I was like, my heart sank. I was like, shit. And I think I was pretty open with my parents that my phone had been stolen. I didn't get grounded. But I filed a police report with like the on-campus police officer. Did you have one of those?
Oh, this is in college.
High school.
On campus?
Yeah. Should I say what, at school?
I feel like campus is like a college word.
Did you call your high school is still a campus?
I don't think so. I think campus is college. Maybe that's my own weird
in
brain.
My head, I think any school grounds is a campus.
The elementary school, we're on the campus of
junior
day elementary.
Anything that is
Mom, can you come pick me up from campus?
Because you're either on campus or off campus. You got to go to lunch off campus.
At school.
People defend me in the comments if you think I'm right.
What are you sipping on?
I'm having a Dr. Pepper Zero sugar. I don't know, since, you know, quitting nicotine and quitting vaping.
You're looking for another vice.
Yeah. The only thing is these have caffeine, and like when it starts getting dark out, I don't like having caffeine. Okay, but let me get to the point.
Yeah.
So my phone gets stolen. Devastated. My mom, I think, had like an old LG chocolate. She gave me that phone as like a substitute. So that's why they weren't that, like my parents weren't pissed. They were just like pissed that, well, that was like a really nice phone. So reported it stolen. Then a couple days later, I remember I'm in like math class. I get a text message on my phone and it says, hey, what's up? And I'm like, who's this? Like, it's Sonia. You gave me your number at lunch or this morning during like breakfast. And I was like,
who? And you're on your new phone.
And I'm on my new
the chocolate.
Phone. I'm on the chocolate.
Okay.
And I'm getting a number from some girl saying that I gave her number. And I know who this girl is at the school. She says her name, but I'm not close with her. She's like in a different grade.
Okay.
And I don't hang out with her. But I still try to keep my cool because I'm like, this is weird.
Yeah.
And I go, who gave you this number? She goes, Edgar. And I was like, who is that? I went to a pretty big school. I then remember going home that night, getting out my yearbook, going through the yearbook, and finding Edgar. And I'm like, shit, this kid goes to my school. And this is weird. If Sonia said that, but I didn't want to go confront any of it. So then the next day at school, I went our school was like multi-levels, had balconies and stuff, and I knew where like mostly everybody like hung out after school.
Did you assemble a squad of friends for backup?
No, I just sat there at the end of school and I hovered over on the third floor looking down to like the second floor watching this kid talk with his friends, and sure enough, he whips out my phone and is using it and like taking pictures on it and like talking to people, like showing it off. So in my head, I'm like, what? Like, that's my phone.
Yeah.
So one, what an idiot, where he is going around giving people
your
my
phone number?
Number.
And so what, the number was tied to both phones, or how did that work?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure we deactivated, so he was just faking it, or maybe it did work. I don't know. It was 2007. It was a different time.
No Apple ID sign-in.
Strange times, yeah, man. I would just, yeah. So I then go to, and I tell the police officer on campus, and I go, these are the text messages I got. This kid goes to our school, and I saw him with my own eyes that he has it. And this was, I swear, end of first semester, like winter, Christmas time coming around. We then, this goes on for months. The police officer then tells us that
This wasn't like a same day? Okay, we're going to go get your phone?
So then they filed up, followed up with me and told me we had given, we talked to him and he says he had the phone but no longer has it on him anymore.
Bullshit.
So do you guys want to continue to press charges? And my mom's like, absolutely, we're going to like continue to press charges. But it was the longest process of getting this phone back. So
it never occurred to you to go up to me like, hey, give my fucking phone back.
No, I didn't want to mess with this kid, dude. No.
You didn't want to get like your dad to come down to the school and like shove him into a locker.
I don't think my dad is that kind of like a guy. And it's just, or to be like, give the phone back or something. I don't know. I did not know this kid. I know, you know. This kid was like serious. Even though looking back, I was probably 2 feet taller than him. But like, this
kid was, and he was like a 14-year-old kid.
Yeah, I know. But like, I know. Looking back, but like, I just think we just didn't want to like risk any conflict.
Sure.
He's already admitted to it. I'd rather also get the money back more than anything.
Fair enough.
Because the thing is, I wasn't that in love with the phone. I wanted a Sidekick too, but I couldn't because I didn't have T-Mobile. So I ended up going to Young Life camp. And I remember I get back from camp. I'm pretty sure this is how it all went down. And my mom goes, so guess what? He finally brought the phone back. And by this time, the phone's out of style.
Yeah, it's a year old
I
already.
I had like the LG Voyager. I have a touch screen now on like my front screen of my phone. But I got it back. I finally got it back.
And what happened? How'd they get it back?
I think he realized, he goes, well, if you don't bring this phone back, we're going to press charges. And this kid did whatever he had to do, but he pushed it for months but ended up getting my phone back.
Do you still have the phone somewhere in like a junk drawer in your parents' house?
You know what? Probably. We usually keep phones in my house.
Should put it on Seth. That'd be a nice memory.
You think so?
Yeah.
Did you keep all of your old phones?
I keep the boxes. I do all that. I don't know what it is about keeping those Apple boxes.
Isn't that such a bummer about like technology, is knowing that it's always dying?
Yeah, it's everything. Yeah, and the older the technology that we have, the longer it lasts. So like if you have a typewriter from the 60s, that's going to outlast a phone from 2007.
Is
like,
that true?
The newer the technology, the shorter the lifespan.
And that is called what?
Planned obsolescence.
Very nice.
Come on.
Hey.
My brother, did you see Sam was in the new Apple commercial?
For the new Apple M2 chip laptop.
Yes. Yeah.
I saw a clip of it. I haven't seen the full commercial in full, but
I didn't know either. Yeah. They reached out to him. Sam Sheffer, my brother, does like YouTube reviews of stuff, and their new product, the M2, they do these videos where they'll explain it's like their keynote, but in the opening of the keynote they pulled a bunch of clips from other tech YouTubers raving about the M2, and they picked one of Sam's clips and put him right before.
Did they invite him to the keynote?
It wasn't a keynote. It was like a video. They didn't like actually do an event. It was just in a product announcement.
Oh.
But he's like right in the beginning. And
Sometimes I'll realize I like have pieces of technology, or whether it's like an old camera or something, and it's just sitting in my drawers. Like, it's weird. We hold on to wires thinking they're going to be of some importance to us.
But you know what happens. The day you throw that wire away, you're like, you know what? I need to actually print something. And then you go to look for the wire printer, and you're like, oh, I threw it out.
Yeah. I'm selling my Oculus Link on eBay.
Oculus right Link.
Oculus Link. It's so there was a Oculus VR game. I wanted to play that Groundhog game that was only on the Oculus Rift, but I figured out if you have an Oculus Link cable, you can connect it to your PC and play it. It's a bit of a hack, but I only bought it just for that.
And you played the game?
I'm never going to use that cable again.
Did you play the game?
$80 What?
You played the game?
I played the game. Loved it. It was worth buying, but right now I'm like, I got to sell this because it's just losing value all the time.
Yeah.
But it's kind of nice that we like keep our old cell phones around. Is that like,
yeah,
because now, or like, it's weird. iPhones, they're so great. You can do so much with them, but they're so boring.
We had
all of these different types of models when we were
younger. Yeah. Oh, that was the phone that twisted. That was the phone with the camera in the back.
Yes. And you had a whole different new experiences with them. You had to relearn really how to use the phone.
That was a great day. When you got a new phone, you had to like learn the operating system and be like, okay, wait, so what's the home button? How do you go back?
Yeah.
Where's the messages app? Oh, there's email on here.
And you would set like a pattern. Like, remember on Androids?
Oh God, I never had one of those.
You never had an Android?
No.
Your first smartphone was an iPhone.
My first smartphone was an iPhone. I had the original Nokia though. The one with Snake on it.
Blue. There was so like the Nokia 1038.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They were all numbers. Like they didn't
That was my first cell phone.
I'm pretty sure I had that phone. My first phone was a Nokia.
Yeah, that was the best. Truly peaked. We didn't need anything else. T9 texting. Fast enough. We'll be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor, Rocket Money. Do you know how much your subscriptions cost? Because most Americans think they spend around $80 a month on subscriptions, when actually it is closer to a total of $200 per month. And if you don't know exactly how much you're spending every month, you need Rocket Money.
Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill, is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills, all in one place.
Over 80% of people have subscriptions that they have forgotten about, like streaming services that you bought just to watch one show or a free trial that you never ended up using. And Rocket Money will quickly and easily identify your subscriptions for you so you can stop paying for the ones you don't want or need anymore.
Simply find the subscription you don't want and press cancel, and Rocket Money will cancel for you. No more long hold times with customer service or tedious emailing back and forth. Rocket Money makes canceling subscriptions as easy as a click of a button.
Over 3 million people have used Rocket Money, saving the average person up to $720 a year.
I have been using Rocket Money this entire start to 2023, and let me just say it has brought so much peace of mind and clarity when it comes to me and my own personal finances. I found out that I was subscribing to things I never even knew about and my money was going to, and knowing that I've stopped it and now I'm able to save my money makes me feel so good, all thanks to Rocket Money. So stop throwing your money away, cancel unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/hoot.
That's rocketmoney.com/hoot, rocketmoney.com/hoot. And now back to the episode.
Should we tell the people what just happened to us?
The nut truck.
The nut truck. The nutmobile. I think there's another word they also use for it. But you know Planters peanuts.
Yes.
For the people listening, people watching. And you know, like, Wiener or Oscar Mayer. You guys know Oscar Mayer Wiener. They have the Wienermobile. That's like, that one's like a little bit more well-known, right?
I think so. I think they're both pretty...
But so this is a peanut version of that, basically. Yes. It's a giant peanut truck. It had visited you guys...
Yeah, last year, Adam's manager, I think, set it up for us. It came to one of my friend's houses that we're visiting. And it's basically what looks like a converted school bus, but it literally looks like a giant peanut.
Yeah.
On the road. It's insane.
It turns heads. And last time it was here, I was out of town, and finally it was able to stop by the lovely team.
It's the Planters Peanut. Someone asked about it on Hoot and a Half when we did our Q&A episode. Someone asked, have you ever ridden on the Planters Nutmobile?
Did they really?
That's how this all happened. And I think I posted that question and we answered it on the episode. Someone saw that, emailed the Planters people and was like, hey, they talked about you on Hoot and a Half. They emailed.
Well, shout out to those people.
Yeah, now we set
thank
it up.
You, thank you for making it happen.
Yeah.
So the lovely Planters people. It was Alexa, Grace, and Kevin.
Yes.
They came in their Planters Peanut Mobile. They came and it was so cool. David came over, Jason came over. We also saw Carly and Aaron.
We took a ride in the Nut Mobile from your house to Carly and Aaron's house, and it's crazy. Everyone is pulling out their phones. Kids are waving. You're throwing peanuts out the window.
I was like munching on a bunch of peanuts too. They're really, really good. I'm kind of craving them bad right now. That was really fun today.
Yeah, that's like a nice little Tuesday in the office.
Yeah, sure. You could say that. Have you ever been on the Wiener?
No.
The Oscar Mayer Wienermobile?
I think at South by Southwest one time, I like saw it and I felt like I couldn't go in there because they're not kosher. So I was like, I'm not going to go in.
Oh, they're not kosher.
I mean, I'm being dramatic, but yeah, I don't think I went in. I've seen it before. It also looked a little bit smaller than the Nutmobile. The Nutmobile is pretty spacious. Could fit quite a few people on there. But and there was a big TikTok that went viral recently where the Planters Nutmobile saw the Oscar Mayer Wiener passing on the highway.
Yeah.
And they filmed it and it went like super viral. And it was those people that filmed it.
I know. That was so cool to like see that and talk about that with them.
Yeah.
Those are like always those cool internships or yes. jobs that they pitch at colleges that you wish you could get, but only a select few are ever going to get that position.
Yeah. I think that's what they were doing before. They were at UCLA recruiting people.
Was there any job like that that you really wanted?
Not really. I don't think there was not that many cool. I mean, we were in Rutgers and it was a lot of New York City. Everyone was like, oh, I want to get a finance internship. And everything was finance and business. And it wasn't anything like
yeah.
that I can remember. Why? Did you have something at your school that was like,
I just
this
remember
is the
when
internship.
The Oscar Mayer one was being
oh,
pitched.
They're a Texas company, right?
Oh, are they?
It sounds like it. Oscar Mayer?
That sounds Texas to you?
I don't know.
But I was telling the people on the Planters Peanut thing, I had a memory of one time I was on an airplane when I was a kid, and we got off the plane, and there were all these people cheering, and then like a whole parade of kids who were also on the flight. And the kids on the flight were contest winners for the Oscar Mayer like singing contest. And they all got off the flight, and then they got onto the Oscar Mayer
Wiener bus.
Wiener mobile. Outside, and I remember being like so jealous of these kids winning a contest that I was not a part of, didn't enter, but I just like it looked like they were just having a great time.
Yeah, I always wanted to win the Nickelodeon ones where you would get to go to Nickelodeon Studios or go to a Toys R Us and fill up your cart with as much things
yes.
as possible.
Do they not do that anymore? Like
I couldn't tell you,
but I don't even think that was a TV show. The shopping spree one.
Yeah, it was just like these interstitial commercials on Nickelodeon.
We have these vivid memories. They would just stuck in your brain of a kid going through a toy store.
Yeah,
getting
shopping
whatever,
spree.
What they want. What would have been, and it's always fun to think about, like, what would have been your strategy? Where would you have gone?
We, like, talked about this with my dad. We'd be like, okay, you only have 1 minute. You have to fill up your cart with as many things as possible. Go to the electronics section and just put as many video game consoles as you can. Get all the video game consoles and then either return them for store credit or sell them on eBay and then get the cash and then go buy what you want.
Ah, see, yeah, that's what, like, we would just yell at the kids the whole time. The kids would just be stuck in the Play-Doh aisle, like, getting distracted. There's nothing worse than, like, the attention span of a six-year-old kid. And they weren't. But then do you also remember, like, the bicycle aisle?
Oh,
They would just grab
the
ticket.
The papers, yes.
The papers. And I was like, just go down the whole thing. Grab them all. Throw them in there.
Yeah.
Man.
Wow, that was a good memory.
We got to pull up some of those
Nickelodeon clips.
Yeah,
and just react to them. That'd be fun.
That's what I'm also thinking. What if we like got like a new set where we could really pull things up,
like a TV?
Yeah,
that's easy. We can do that.
I know. I've always loved the vibe of our set, but I've just been considering like if we were to revamp it, how would we do it? I love this couch, but I feel like it has to go. It's really big.
You think it's too big? If we don't have a lot of guests, it's not that bad.
I just want to enhance the lights, enhance the cameras, and then do something. Maybe if we're just more at a table.
Oh, I'm open for it. If you guys have ideas for what we can do to...
Please, guys,
2023 set. A table could be interesting, yeah.
What's that?
We got a lot of leg in this version of the podcast. A table
yeah,
could be interesting.
Because I think we're still going to like have people on the podcast visiting, but it's going to be less of an interview thing and more of just a conversation. That's what we're kind of putting out there. Because sometimes there's just so much formality that goes into like interviewing someone where you guys as listeners, I would much rather us get into like the nitty and gritty of us talking about a lot of other stuff rather than the formalities of the
how'd you get your start?
How did you get started and all that? I personally just feel like a little burnt out on those types of questions, and so I'd rather just get other people's thoughts and opinions about other stuff.
Just a good hang.
Yeah, definitely.
You met my parents?
I met your parents. Lovely people. Melissa and Benny, or Mama Sheffer and Abba.
Yeah.
Why do you call your dad Abba?
It's Hebrew for dad.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I didn't know if that was like a nickname or anything.
No, Hebrew for dad. You'll hear a lot of Jewish people calling
him. Do you never call your dad dad?
Never. Only if I'm like kind of being a dick. I'm like, what's up, dad? Like, it's like weird.
Abba.
It's weird. He's not, dad is like a weird word.
When he becomes a grandpa, what are you going to call him?
Saba.
Saba?
That's grandpa.
So you graduate from Abba to Saba.
Yep.
And what do you call your mom's just mom, right?
Yeah, but some people call their mom Ima. That's in Hebrew. Ima.
Yeah. And then if it's a grandma, it's Sima?
No, it's Safta.
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 Ima Safta. Abba Saba. What is so funny?
It sounded like a Harry Potter spell. Ima Saba. Abba Safta.
They visited for how many days?
Three. Picked them up Friday morning. They were here all day Friday, and my brother Sam visited, who now lives in San Francisco.
Yeah, your mom, the first thing she said when she saw me was like, did you brush your teeth?
Oh, yeah.
I was like,
She asked me if she could make that joke, and I was like, sure.
Yeah. Why not?
That was from a Good Influences episode where Matt
shared
with the world.
Okay, but both of your parents, I thought this was kind of interesting, because I know the people like don't know. Your parents were both born in Israel,
yes.
But your mom was
raised in America.
Raised in America.
Yeah.
When did your dad move here?
Right before they got married, when he was like 28.
Okay, yeah. Because your dad has like
pretty thick accent.
Pretty thick accent.
Yeah.
And then, but in my head, I didn't want to like, I don't know, immediately be like, why do you talk different than her?
No, like, dude, we always, even like in high school, all my friends used to like make fun of the way he talks. Like when he says Daron's name, he goes, Daron!
Daron!
Yeah. It's, no, you're totally fine. They loved you. And they loved Patricia.
Great.
It was great.
Cool.
That was a fun afternoon. Yeah, so that was quite a thrill, but I do have my sick waterproof shoes.
I forgot to put mine on.
Fucking love these things. They're so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that was great. And like, I really appreciate you taking the time on a Saturday afternoon to come by and hang. And Ella was there too.
Of course, Mike.
Yeah.
You know what? This weekend, I hardly did anything. I didn't even like go out and really party and drink. I drank on Sunday night. But I don't know. Is it because of the rain?
The rain's been a bummer.
That makes me not want to go do things, even though I love the rain. When it rains in LA, I almost get like a little bit of anxiety about the rain. And I'm sad that it's going to be over.
Yeah, that's a weird thing. When it stopped for like a day or two, you're like, I just want it to rain again.
And then it came right back.
But why?
Because it doesn't rain that often. You can go months in LA and it never rains.
It's a nice change of pace.
And so, exactly, but it's just very rare, and I like to like soak it up when I can, and sometimes it's like an inconvenient day when it rains. I don't know. I was just like a little,
it makes me feel better.
It's going away.
Yeah.
I love the thought of knowing that it's going to rain straight for 3 weeks. I love that feeling.
You might be the only person.
Because it's like truly weather is like just an act of God. There's nothing you can do.
You can't do anything about it.
Nobody can do anything about it. So I like it when it rains.
Let's see if it's going to rain again.
I don't think it will.
Yeah, no more rain in the forecast. We did it. That's it. Golden sunshine.
Golden sunshine. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess that made me not want to do anything. But I've also been so worried if I'm past the party like phase.
You did turn 30.
I know, but it's weird. Just drinks just aren't hitting the way they used to.
I mean, aging is a process, growing old and having new experiences, but doesn't mean that it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
I'm so far clean on dry January. I haven't had a sip of liquor.
You haven't drank at all this entire month?
Nobody's noticed.
You haven't complained at all.
I know. I already did the 3 month stint last year.
Okay.
And then I had a few, we'll call them slip-ups, but I chose to. I wasn't like, oh God, I'm like home alone.
Yeah.
But, just want to do a dry January, and I haven't had any downsides. I feel like I'm being able to like tap into that hyped energy without the requirement of boozing up. It's been great. I really want to start a book club of sorts this year, and I know you have the knitting club, which is like really great, and I'm very envious of that. I want to join it, but like, there's always something going on a Wednesday, and you guys kind of start early, and I have to go to the store, and just life gets so busy. But I've been talking to a friend about starting a book club, which I feel like is a little bit of a easier club to start.
Hopefully you commit to it.
That's what I will,
because I have been a part of two book clubs started by dudes. Nobody ever commits to it. Girls, when they make a book club, it happens.
Yeah.
Girls love talking about books with other girls.
Okay.
I'm not making this a gender thing.
It's a girl
just
that I'm going to start it with.
I've observed. Girls are more like, and also it's just because it's the quality of books. A lot of books out there are written for girls, or just, I don't know, the feminine perspective, they just like them better. So,
and a guy book would be like, let's read They Serve Beer in Hell by Max Tucker. Okay, guys, for the first book club, we're going to read
is that. Wait, what is that book? I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell by, like, Tucker Max.
Tucker Max, yeah. Here's the plan, okay? The reason is because I read sometimes, not as much as I should. Everyone says that.
Fictional books?
I usually don't read fiction, so it's also an opportunity for me to read fiction, because I think there is value in it, but I just never had the urge to do that. So,
I read is fiction.
I know.
I can't. Nonfiction, give me the guideposts. Sum it up. Summaries. Because, like, reading paragraphs of things that are about the same idea, unless it's like a Malcolm Gladwell book.
Okay.
Tell me a story of a phenomenal, a case study of something and why it's interesting.
A lot of nonfiction is very repetitive.
Yes.
And there are certain techniques to reading them where, like, for example, when I read some of these nonfiction books, I will read the last chapter first, because that's usually a summary of the entire book. And then I'll go and I'll read, like, the first two pages of a chapter and the last two pages of a chapter. And if I like what those have to say, then I'll go and read the full chapter. Like,
yeah, I don't believe any of this, but sure.
You don't believe that I do this?
I'm kidding.
No, I'm serious. Nah,
okay, because I think you've done this twice.
Yeah.
And you say that this is what you do.
Yeah, I've started doing this.
Okay, all right, great.
I have done it exactly twice, and okay. I'm recommending it to you as a thing that I've discovered, because...
Do you do this before or after the cold plunge?
I haven't been doing the cold plunge in the last, like, week, mostly because it's been raining and, like... It does take a lot of energy out of me, I've realized. And when my parents were coming...
It takes energy out of you.
It's like a physically demanding thing to go through. Because when you go in the cold plunge and then you come out, your body has to expend a lot of energy and burn a lot of calories to heat your body back up. Which is why it's good to do for you.
Okay.
You don't believe this.
Burning the calories and the energy now being like...
It's a shock.
If anything, no, it just sounds like a hit. It should be making you energized.
I think I have some sort of, like, deficiency somewhere. I need to go to a doctor.
Take some vitamins.
I do take vitamins.
Which ones?
Multivitamin and vitamin D.
A men's one?
Yeah.
Cool.
One a day.
Vitamin
or what's
D?
It called? Vitamin D and,
yeah.
And Nature Well Honey
you
Naturals.
You know what I take?
Zinc.
No, I don't.
Even I don't know.
I take men's multivitamin, a prebiotic, glutamine, vitamin D, 2 fish oil pills.
Fish oil?
Yeah.
How are those burps?
This is no fishy aftertaste. Haven't had any problem with it.
Okay.
Sorry, you just made that all about me.
Do you feel better? Do you feel better taking these pills?
Yes. Oh, also before bed, I take magnesium glycinate.
Yes, I do that.
And I take ashwagandha. I take ashwagandha when I go to bed and ashwagandha when I wake up.
And you feel a difference taking all these medicines?
Yeah. I feel like I've been a less squirrely in my head. I'm more calm.
And you've quit the nicotine.
And I've quit the nicotine. I don't even think about it anymore.
Well, here's my question is, do you want to join the book club?
Yes, if we're reading fiction.
Yeah, we'll be reading fiction. The first book that we want to read is called The Goose, I think. Have you heard of this?
No.
It's in the same category as, like, that book Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow
you got. Okay, yeah.
I've seen them on similar lists.
The Goose.
Yeah, I think that's what it's called.
The Goose.
I think so.
Okay, cool. How often is book club?
This is my question. I've done some research. Someone else I know is in a book club. They meet once a month. So you basically read the book and then talk about it. But I know that some book clubs meet up, like, every week. So you read, let's say, 2 chapters, talk about it, where you think it's going, whatever. And then there's websites that will give you prompts for questions in the discussion. So I don't know. The format of it has not been determined. So I'm open to any suggestions you may have about how to run it.
The only thing, like, the big thing that's challenging with book clubs is everybody has to agree. Once you get to that point, you have to stop reading.
Right.
For everybody
to catch up.
To talk about it. Because I hate talking about, like, a book when someone's, like, 5 chapters ahead.
Right.
You'll be,
yeah,
like, going, this part really moved me. And they go, well, get ready for the next few. And then you're like, shut up. Like, you, like, this, like, you,
yeah,
you... But I know book clubs are great. They're good. I just, hopefully everybody is on the same pace and taste and enjoy reading certain types of books.
I'll ask you a very direct question then.
Yeah.
Do you think the book club would be better suited where you have to read the whole book and then we meet and talk about it? Or do we read like half the book and then meet, talk about it, and then read a third of the book? Like, or is it just, this is what we're reading and we're going to talk about it when it's done?
That's a good question. It all depends with different people. I think with you, I don't know.
Do you like talking about books while you're reading them with people, or do you like to talk about it after? Do you have that like post-movie?
I like talking about a book I'm reading with somebody who has already read it.
Got it.
And
so they have getting their perspective,
approval and excitement of where I'm at. Because okay. Right now I'm reading A Little Life by Hanya. Very intense Japanese last name. Not intense, just like hard for me to get in my brain. It is one of the most excruciatingly painful books I think I've ever read.
Gosh.
It is so damn depressing. A Little Life. For the people who know, you know. And Brooke Averick has read it. Sally Dar has read it.
Sure.
And my buddy Reed, I don't think he's read it, but he told me about it. And I've just been like, I check in with them and I'm like, this book is really, really hard. And they're just like, yeah, get ready.
So here's my other thought.
Okay, sorry.
Is there a world in which a knitting club can also be a book club at the same time? Can you knit and talk about a book at the same time? Or are you guys really focused?
Yes, I actually kind of would like that if we did it.
It's just so you have something to talk about.
Some of the members of the group are really fast readers.
Yeah, so you can read the whole book.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, don't sound so enthused.
Knitting club, I've been a little bit of a bitch at lately.
Oh, do you want to share?
I'm sick of people showing up to knitting club and not knitting. Some people show up to knitting club and just...
Right into the lens.
And they just chat. Don't come to knitting club if you're not going to knit. And I've had to like speak up a few times. There's like 3 people who come to knitting club without their needles, and they just come in and gossip, and they make the whole conversation about that and not... I'm not saying the conversation needs to be about knitting, but it's just, you know, just a sip and knit kind of like...
I get it.
Calming.
Yeah.
Or sometimes we're watching something that's like way too distracting or just junky. We're watching junk reality TV while we're knitting, and I
Nightmare.
Don't like that
combination. Yeah.
I don't. And the thing is I've actually been really slacking knitting lately. I'm working on a sweater for myself because I was told you should knit something for you. You've knit a baby blanket for my niece, and then I knit a vest for Patricia. I just need to knit a male sweater. But I'm now on the part where I need to like cast off like the areas for just the neck. And it's just, it's a part where like I really can't chat with anybody. I have to just sit there and focus on doing it. And I have not been able to sit down and do it. So I've been stressed. And I need to knit a baby blanket for my cousin who's having a baby. And I told her I would. And she's like, I swear, about to pop any moment. And I'm stressed. But I think she'll be fine. Baby's a baby for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You stress yourself out with a lot of these things.
Yeah. I don't know really why that is.
Did you answer all your texts this morning?
Yep.
Okay.
I did. I feel really embarrassed by that clip, though, on Good Influences of me talking about
why?
It. Because it made it seem like I have to do it when I was admitting to something that like I'm embarrassed that I have to do it. Or I'm worried if the way I was coming across was like, this is what has to be done.
I don't think that that's in any indication of what you said.
Thanks, Mike.
It's more of just like you're a little overwhelmed, as everyone is, with just technology and messages and energy dividing among people that want it from you, and totally valid. That's why people watched it, because they agree with it.
Yeah. Oh, have you had these? This is not an ad, folks. This is not an ad.
Primi?
It's Prime.
I know. I haven't had it. I know what it is,
though. Logan Paul, who is a KSI. You know, have you had just regular Prime?
Never had any Prime.
The regular Prime, delicious. It tastes, dude, like a drink you had when you were a kid. It's so hard to put your finger on it.
And aren't they like going nuts in the Midwest for it or something? Or in Australia?
No, in London. Or Australia.
They like people fly off the shelves?
I don't think we buy it. I think Logan Paul actually sends it to us, which is funny.
It's vegan.
Is it really?
I mean,
take a sip.
Ooh, that's like Mountain Dew.
Yeah. Zero sugar.
Whoa, that's really good.
Dude, it's so yummy, and there's a blue raspberry one.
Wait, zero sugar? I was going to think this is like 30 grams of sugar. That's crazy.
Yeah.
What's in this? That's really...
Dude, and it's... Yeah, the crank is so... Like, I know. I don't feel like I need to punch a wall. I feel like really clear-headed. It's like 400 milligrams of caffeine, which is like a lot, right?
Wow. I mean, I don't really know what these ingredients are, but coconut water, filtered water, citric acid, natural flavor... Wow, that's really good.
I don't think there's any dye. It's not
good
like
job, Mr. Paul. as if I'm the first person to fucking talk about this. That's really, that is really good though.
What were we just talking about? Oh, I think you should start book club. The Goose, hopefully that sounds like something. The thing is, I have too many books though that I want to read.
Okay. We'll start it without you and maybe recruit.
I want to read Bret Easton Ellis's new book.
Oh yeah, that's cool.
The Shards. Dude, I've been having the worst back pain lately, man.
Didn't you used to be the guy who was like, I just never had back pain before. Yep. I don't get it.
Yep. I said that all the time. I was like, I don't get when like Todd and Zane have bad back pain. I'd never had good lower back flexibility. I think it happened when I was skiing. Like something messed with me.
I think you should get Fadi over to the house and have him fix you up.
For the people who don't know, Fadi is a deep tissue massage guy.
Osteopath, I'm something along those lines.
I'm worried that he's going to mess it up.
Dude, absolutely not. He fixes people. That's what he does.
But what is he, like a chiropractor as well?
I don't know. I think chiropractor is a little bit of like a scammy thing.
I feel like he's like spine is like compressed and it needs to be decompressed.
Dude, he is like, he studies the body. He went to school for this. He has like really good clientele. He works on athletes.
I'm worried I have cancer.
No, you don't. You're just 30 years old and you've been not flexible and you went skiing and you overexerted yourself.
Yeah, I know.
That's what happens when you get older.
What's weird is like I don't ever have like weird hypochondriac or like cancer fears, but this, my lower back, it makes me feel like something, like I have some cancer or I have sepsis.
I always think I have rabies.
Okay, how? What do you mean? Go on.
Do you know about rabies?
I know that it makes you hydrophobic.
It is the deadliest disease a human being can get. It has a 99.999% chance of killing you. If you get the first symptom
it untreated.
No. Once you are symptomatic, you're fucked. But you don't know if you have rabies until you get the symptoms.
So how do you usually get rabies?
What from is a bite.
Like from a bite.
A bite. Of a bite like a bat. From a squirrel? It could be like a bat. Like there was a case of a woman who like went into a cave and had like a tiny, tiny little bite on her neck. And she didn't even feel it when it happened and just saw like two little red dots. Didn't think anything of it.
She got rabies?
Turned out it was rabies. And it's 100% once you show. So like, for example, though, if you get bit by, let's say like a fox or you get bit by a dog or like a cat, you want to go get the rabies vaccine. They'll give you like shots in your ass and then you get the vaccine.
Should we always be getting vaccinated for rabies?
Think, but like in the US.
I'm pretty sure I have the vaccine for rabies.
I don't know how long it lasts, but like in the US, they've done a really good job of eliminating animals with rabies in the wild. Like in the 90s, they were rounding up all the rabid dogs and rabid cats and like they euthanize them because it's just so deadly. But sometimes like I have a headache and I'm like, oh man, do I have fucking rabies somehow? And then once you have rabies, once you have your first symptom, you're going to die. It's just a matter of time. It's so scary.
I'm scared of snake bites or just getting like walking by and just something going.
Yes, that's insane. Like going into like the, like
I'm always worried like a snake has somehow snuck into a room.
No, they're not going to be in a house.
You never know.
No,
dude. One time when I was a kid, we were coming home and pulled into our driveway. Did you have your little driveway in the garage? We clicked on the garage button. All of a sudden, the garage door just started going like. Like it started like warping sideways and my dad's like, what the fuck? And he's going shit. We're getting out of the car thinking like something fucked up. My dad gets a flashlight, looks at the corner where like the
gears are.
The pulley is that like pulls up, a snake nested in it, and when the garage door went up,
it got caught
in it. Shook me up as a kid.
Oh god, that's so violent.
Oh,
I mean, yeah, that would make you. I mean, if there's a snake
like
in your garage,
like a snake. Yeah, so I'm always like, when I'm in our garage, I'm like, is there a snake back here? Like, but the thing is, I'm not scared of snakes. If a person like put a snake on me, I'm like, this is fine. This is safe. This is a zookeeper. This is a snake guy.
But a wild snake.
Yeah, something that sneaks in.
You think you could suck the venom out? Would you be able to do that? Would you have the wherewithal to be like,
yeah.
What an insane thing to have to do.
Can that work?
I think so. I think that's like actually what they say to do is you want to get the venom out. Because
I always love the thing that's in a first aid kit where it's like a venom sucker. Yeah. I used to love fidgeting with that when I was a kid. And I was like, what if you put it on your eyeball? I would have such intrusive thoughts about it.
Yeah.
But no, you know what? I've realized I'm never going to be a hiking or a camping guy. Never. No, not. I'm done. Like, not done. Like something recently happened, but like the idea of Lyme disease is not worth it at all.
Oh yeah, that's a scary one.
Or in ticks and stuff. Goodbye.
Like, you ever had a tick on you?
No.
Oh, dude, it's
I don't
the
think I've
worst.
Ever seen one with my own eyes.
I had one on my arm one time, and I got in the car and I saw it, and I was like trying to flick it off, and you can't flick them off.
That
like,
makes
I was
sense.
Trying to like rub it and flick it, and I was like, oh my God, that's a tick. And you have to like grab it and fucking yank it out, and then sometimes the head will say, fuck ticks, fuck camping, I'm totally with you.
Yeah.
Never again.
Maybe like
glamping.
Like, because I've debated like on getting the roof rack for my car. Like,
you're gonna get it?
I don't think so. Well, like, oh. I don't know. I texted Casey Neistat about if I should get if he's had clearance issues because I've heard about people with the Defender. If you get a roof rack, you can't enter parking garages, and I'm like, huh? Like that messes with me. But then Casey's like, don't get the factory one, and I'm like, well, I kind of wanted the factory one because I think it looked cool. But now yeah. Casey Neistat says not to get it. I think that's gonna make me uncool.
Yeah.
And then I thought like it would be cool if I was like out in like a pasture, like on someone's property, like a farm.
Right.
And we went camping on something like that.
Yes.
And I had a pop-up tent on the roof of my car.
What about like in a state park with a bunch of other campers? There's like a water hookup. It just doesn't sound fun.
I don't want to go hiking.
Yeah, it all just sounds like you can't shower, there's no bathroom. Yeah. Like why are you gonna pay money?
But all respect to people who want to go do that.
Disrespect. No, I'm kidding.
I wish I was a surfer, but I don't want to go surfing.
That's a big schlep too. Any big schlep, I'm not into anymore. Not
the surfers
that I ever have been.
So cool. You can't tell me you're not looking cool if you're out surfing in the middle of a parking lot with your wetsuit halfway across your waist.
Yeah, but it's just
you spraying off sand.
Yeah.
That's the most badass thing you can do. No one is ever looking at a surfer who's like doing that stuff, like going, haha, dork.
Yeah.
Like camping, I can be like, all right, that's kind of nerdy. Surfing, I'm like, that's kind of cool.
That's 100% true, but like, if you don't have the DNA for it, like, some, you could just look at someone and be like, oh, that's a surfer. I don't think we have the DNA to be surfers. That's your whole day. You get to wake up, do dawn patrol, crack of dawn, get there before the sunrise, get in the cold water.
Yeah.
And just like get pummeled by the waves all day. Like, that's your whole day. Not for us.
What is the thing that we wish we could do and maybe could do and be those kind of guys?
As like an activity, like a cool guy activity?
Yeah.
Drinking.
I think we need like a cool guy activity, Mike.
To do on weekends that's not drinking.
It's something we can do on weekends. It's something like we go and do.
Like what? Like bowling? Like you want to get a bowling?
Oh, God. We are bowling guys.
I used to have my own shoes in high school. I got pretty into
it. My grandma was in like a bowling league. It's in my blood.
I think you found what it is. I think knitting club is your thing.
But sometimes people who are really good at bowling or people who are really good at bowling like scare the shit out of me.
Who do you think you are?
I am. You know?
But I think your thing like
but I think there's a degree with bowling where it's like you're a good bowler. You're not going to like do anything more exciting.
How much do you think the best bowler in the world makes a year? Do you think he makes millions? You're the best bowler in the world. Do you make
$300,000 to $500,000?
Being the best bowler in the world?
He has to be having an active YouTube channel and uploading bowling trick shots.
That's what you think would pay them? Yeah, probably. I don't know if the bowling championship league has...
But like the degree between... I bet the best bowler, if you go to the local bowling alley, go show me the best bowler and have the best bowler... at a professional bowling thing and have them bowl, they're equally good. It's just strikes. It's just strikes.
No, it's there's the no, pressure.
It's not. What do you? Oh, you got a full turkey. Whoop-de-doo. Like, it's the thing is, it's like, it's bowling. It's not getting us. It's making sure that you not get a strike anytime.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. There's only a certain amount of good you can be. If you can get
like,
10 strikes in a row.
Darts is hard because you're going for like different little things.
Yeah.
That's part of the score. Bowling is just getting the strike.
So you think like bowling, the people who are at the top of bowling just decide to be in the leagues that put you at the top of the league?
They're just guys who get strikes a lot of the time. There's the variables are so slim in bowling.
Yeah, it's either you get a strike or a spare and that's it. Like there's only so many outcomes.
Huh. So for me, I'm not that like wowed by it, but I guess we're going to be those kind of guys. Because then imagine what is cool about hanging out with a bunch of people who also get strikes.
I think
bowling's fun when you rarely go do it and you get a strike. You're like, yippee!
Yep.
Like,
yep.
I did it. Yeah. But like, if you are doing that all the time and just getting strikes, I bet that gets pretty boring.
It's really, there's no, it's not like chess where every game is infinitely different.
Or it's like people, professional cornhole people, like whoop-de-doo. Maybe you should stop playing cornhole because you're that good if you're getting it in every time. Like, I think you played it too much. You've beaten the game.
Yeah.
Like, it's time to take a step back.
And do something else.
Yeah.
That's a good perspective.
But so are we going to be guys who are going to find a game?
Well, I don't see what I think you've already found it. I think knitting is going to be your thing. Like in the same way where like Cody Ko goes surfing.
I go knit.
You go knit. Like that's as cool
maybe.
As you get.
Did I tell you I joined a Facebook group called Men Who Knit because I thought I would I thought I was going to find really good knitting patterns on
for
there.
Men.
Yeah. Like a good knitting pattern for a men's sweater because all the other knitting groups I'm in, the patterns are for like just female sweaters. I'm like, what is a good fisherman's sweater?
Yeah.
Turns out it was like a gay hookup group.
No way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like under the radar? Like were they posting sweaters?
Like guys who were like knitting thongs and like, it's just like, buddy, I could tell. I could tell I was not in the right place on the internet of where I should be. All respect. I was like, maybe this is not the Facebook group for me, Men Who Knit.
That's part of my this new year resolution. I want to actually spend the time to do like buy the knitting needles, start the book club, go to the VHS store, get more into the hobbies. You showed me basically all these hobbies, so I'm just kind of following in your footsteps.
Yeah, but, yeah, no, I think you would like knitting.
I think I will. I just need to go to the store and get the introductory materials I've that
been
I
like,
need.
Lately I'm just going to like focus on my skills, no more collections, zero collections.
Like collecting things?
Besides, like Christmas Village, I'm capped out on that.
You know what's cool?
Halloween Village like capped out.
Cookie jars. Those are cool.
Cookie? Go stop.
Yeah, no, I'm serious.
Collecting cookie jars?
Yeah.
You can't have that many cookie jars,
No,
though.
You can. They're sick because you can like decorate.
Where do you put them?
In your kitchen. They're like decorative, but you'll get like a Felix the Cat one or like
how
a Popeye.
How many cookie jars?
I get like 10, 12.
That has to look so tacky, Mike.
You think so?
You're telling me you're going to decorate your entire kitchen counter. I don't know what kind of girl you're going to marry, but hell no. Are you telling me that your entire kitchen counter is going to be filled up with cookie jars?
Maybe like around the house, like on a mantle somewhere.
Okay.
Just like...
They look like urns.
No. They're like artisan. They're pieces of art.
What did your cookie jar look like as a kid?
I don't remember, but we definitely had a cool one.
We had two.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. We had a strawberry... Okay. Ours was a giant strawberry.
Okay.
Was our cookie jar.
Yeah.
And then I'm pretty sure we had a giant fish.
Okay.
Which is also kind of weird looking back on it.
I have a friend who collects them and he showed me his collection and it's like really cool. Because he gets these artisan ones that are hand painted. Like Disney made a bunch of them in the 50s that have these like crazy colors and they're
It's too big.
I mean, I don't know. It's just something fun.
Don't
yuck my yum.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm just concerned about interior design, Mike.
Oh, I know.
You know, Carly and Aaron called me today because they were recording their podcast. You know how they go through like Reddit posts and stuff where like people give their like honest opinions. And some girl had a big rant on there where she goes, I hate going into people's houses and they have like framed photos of their wedding in their house.
That's a little weird.
And I was like, and they were like, I want to get Matt's opinion on this. And I was like, okay, one, I think everyone's entitled to do what you want to do in your own home. Hang up the pictures you want to hang up. But like, but there was always something I've been wanting to get on my chest. I hate like eyeballs in living spaces. I don't think it's great to have a painting of somebody looking right at you in a main space.
That's a really good observation.
I think pictures of people... Or eyeballs are good in like transitional areas, like hallways, maybe going up the stairs. Or you should have photographs like this that are on something.
Right.
This is a set. Like this is a gallery wall.
You wouldn't want this Larry and Jerry blown up in your living room, looking down at you while you're watching TV.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good call.
And I didn't know if I was going to be out of line or if I was going to hurt anyone's feelings on that, but
you're entitled to your opinion, Matthew. It's free country.
Thank you, Mike.
What's the clickbait going to be for this? We got to talk about something juicy.
Oh, I really do want, you know, well, that clip of us on TikTok went kind of viral of me when they were like, what's the biggest mystery that happened in your hometown?
Oh,
it was like
yeah.
the disappearance of Susan Smalley and Stacey Madison. Or Susan Smalley, yeah, Stacey Madison. And this is the book right here.
What's it called?
I got off Amazon. It goes, This Night Wounds Time.
Oh, I thought it was Wounds.
By this guy, Sean Sutherland. It's like on Amazon.
It's not Wounds?
Wounds?
Wow, like wound? Like a clock gets wound? Wound? No, that's Wounds.
Wounds?
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
wait. Oh, you're all wound up.
Yeah.
How do you spell that word?
That's the same way.
Oh. Whoa. I never thought about that either. And I've been really wanting to, solve this mystery.
Have you read that book in full?
A little bit. I think I've read like halfway. It's pretty. I've earmarked.
Oh, pages where you're gonna investigate.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting, but I need a lead. I don't want to start a podcast about these.
Did
girls.
You do any when you were home for the holidays?
No.
You said you were gonna interview some people.
I didn't have enough time.
Too much team family sports with green versus blue.
Oh,
or whatever.
Come off of it. No, it was the holidays. A lot of people were just busy. My brother and I think we need to go back and conduct some interviews with some people. I'm just so worried about the families of these people and making sure that like I deliver them like results and that I'm not just profiting off someone else's tragedy.
Sure.
There's like a bit of integrity that I feel like I need to have if I were to approach
solving the mystery.
This mystery.
What is your current hypothesis? Do you think they're still alive? Do you think that they were?
I want them to still be alive, but genuinely, I don't. I don't know. I think that they were trafficked. Into Mexico. That's the number one theory.
Okay.
But I still think that's a little weird because it's like Dallas. And I'm like, that's still like a far way from like this, like the border. But I'm trying to figure out my biggest next area into research is figuring out if there were similar disappearances that happened in that area around this time. Because I also heard about one that happened a few years earlier, a few years after, about some girls who disappeared from a mall in outside of Fort Worth. Like some girls went to a mall and...
Is there a police report that you can pull and read?
It's that they reopened the case.
The Night Wounds Time. The mysterious disappearances of Stacey Madison and Susan Smalley.
Now, I want to clarify for some people who are on TikTok, a lot of people, because it wasn't really included in the edit, this happened on the last night of spring break in like 1988. These two girls went out and they were never seen again. And everybody was tagging Adventures with a Purpose, which is the YouTube channel of those guys who go around and they search, you know, lakes and stuff, and they find abandoned vehicles. And
yeah,
usually there's a
I've
body
seen
in
that.
It. But I don't know if I clarified in that story that their car was found. It was found in like the North Dallas area, like I think near Addison and like Farmers Branch down over there. And their 1967 Mustang was found. In the back seat was a boombox, their purses, inside their purses, their wallets, their possessions, everything, and a blue jean jacket draped over it. So they found it. So everyone just wants to know what happened.
Yeah.
Do you feel like, though, you would put... I feel like they left their vehicle knowing that they would come back to it.
This is a really good sentence. Have you read the whole book?
Roughly, yeah.
Okay, there's a sentence here in the end where in the chapter about the solution as to what may have happened. The theories that are in conflict are A, the girls were abducted completely at random and against their wills by total strangers, or B, they willingly entered the vehicle of someone known to them who delivered them to what proved to be their final destination.
Yeah. I think that they willingly did it because I think they thought they genuinely would be back.
The other theory I read in here was that one of the girls killed the other one in a heated fight and then disappeared because she killed someone and wanted to get away with it. But that seems very unlikely.
Yeah, that seems unlikely. They were... I don't think...
Because
one of the girls was
body.
A little bit more adventurous and like, I'm going to say rambunctious than the other one. One was a little bit more tame and safe.
Yeah.
But nothing to a severe degree where it would be like a motive for one of them to lash out and kill the other.
Yeah.
I think, Jenny, I think weed was involved. I think that they thought like, oh, let's get in this guy's truck and we can like drive around and smoke weed. But like, let's put our like purse and stuff like back in our car because we don't like if something happens, we don't want to get caught like
right.
with our IDs on us. They can't do anything.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know what the procedure is of like how big IDs were required back in the 80s or what. but it's weird trying to place your
thought process, yeah,
in the a teenager in 1988.
Yeah,
back then you didn't. They also just drove around, like Webb Chapel or a big road down.
No GPS, no texting.
You just drove around. It was like Dazed and Confused. You know, you just like said hey to people at stoplights and pulled into parking lots and hung out. So I just hope I would get like a good solid lead at least. And not put myself in danger. But these women have to be, are like in their like 46. Their parents are like in like their late 80s right now.
And it's really crazy that this even happens to people.
Have you looked into if there were any weird disappearances that happened in Freehold?
I have not. I don't know if, I feel like there hasn't.
I'm cold sure. cases?
Oh, that's an interesting, I should look that up. Cold cases in Freehold, New Jersey.
Because what's fun about finding out cold cases in your hometown is you know where all yep. the spots and nooks yep. and crannies, you can place your brain and yourself into those spots.
Yeah.
I just want need to buy a cork board and like some string.
You want
to
do the
some,
whole.
And some thumbtacks. And
play detective
out of respect though I'm yeah, not no. trying to like accessorize someone else's strategy.
I get it
Hopefully I am on to something. It's weird because I do big deep dives and then suddenly I get depressed, like mysteries and like murders and stuff. It takes some guts and some skill to like, it's fun for a while.
It's really difficult because there is no answer. Someone has it. That's the frustrating part, is that there is an answer. Someone knows what happened to them.
Yeah. Oh, and wonder if that person's even alive. Or that person could already be in jail now.
For getting caught for something else.
Yeah.
Well, that's as good a place to end it as it was. We started Hopefully with the disappearance. I'll
get a great update for you guys next podcast. Mike, I love doing this. Guys, thank you so much for listening and watching Hoot and a Half. Be sure to check out all of our other episodes as well as our other podcast with Carly and Aaron called Good Influences. Also, I'm going to be posting a lot more on Snapchat lately, so be sure to add me on Snapchat, follow us on Instagram, comment what you liked about this episode, and yeah, hope you guys are having a great start to your new year. Much love.
Bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.